Okay. Let's show Steve why he's leaving.
Good evening. Don't feel like you have to.
Now we want to give you something to remember.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, June 28th, 2011 Carver Board of Aldermen meeting. I understand that there are some folks here who wanted to petition the board on a matter that's not on our printed agenda about the anti-lingering ordinance or something. Is that right? Who's wanting to speak? Two. All right. Three. All right. We don't actually have this agenda doesn't call for petitions, but I guess I'll entertain it. If we can keep this discussion relatively short tonight on this particular subject, there are a lot of stakeholders in this issue who are not here tonight who will also need to be heard from before the board would fully take up this matter. So who wants to go first amongst y'all? Dr. Blau?
I understand that you have received from the town's attorney a letter from this book, from Summit Coalition. And I'm here to speak on behalf of that letter. It was signed by, my goodness, 9 attorneys. I understand that the anti-lingering ordinance was discussed at great length, and the vote was somewhat divided initially, that this was a difficult thing for the alderman to take up. But you could not.
The vote was 4-1, just to let you know.
Okay. You could not have recognized at that time the increasing economic hardship that's facing everyone in the nation, but most especially the day laborers. And it's this downturn of the economy that has made employment possibilities more difficult. Carborough is exemplary in the ways in which it supports equal concern for each and every individual who lives within its jurisdiction, while at the same time recognizing the rights of every individual who lives within its jurisdiction to choose how to make a good life for themselves. In fact, the town of Carborough, I discovered yesterday, adopted a resolution supporting workers who do not live and work in Carborough. This is a resolution supporting Smithfield food workers and workers' rights, and it states in Section 1, the town of Carborough, I think this is a very moving and moving statement, illustrative of our town. Section 1, the town of Carborough supports the workers at the Smithfield Processing Plant in Tar Heel, North Carolina, in their struggle for dignity, fair wages, safe working conditions, and the right to organize a union. It encourages markets within the town to consider suspending their purchases of any Smithfield products until such time as these critical issues are resolved. So I'm not a lawyer, but in my view, there is a striking parallel between the conditions that the Smithville workers face, continue to face, and the conditions that the day laborers face. Let me add, I've been at the corner for many times and have observed the extent to which the workers insist that other workers behave themselves. Now, they don't want to bring trouble from the police so that they self-regulate. The economy is terrible. Their take-home wages are miserable. And I would urge that this ordinance be abolished.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
Thank you.
Mr. Dorsen, you want to go next, or? Okay.
I'm going to translate. Hello, good afternoon. I'm here to because I'm against the ordinance. Thanks to the teachers to help us take this ordinance to cancel this ordinance. I've been working 15 years there. Sometimes I wasn't there. I used to work for other companies, but now that there's not that many jobs, I stand there. The corner was always there for us.
Siempre he estado pertenece a cargo y no o sea pertenece a cargo porque siempre estado ahí tiene 15 años. Hay mucha gente que es nueva y ya quiere poner reglas y nunca ha puesto, no tiene por qué poner cambiarlas porque siempre ha estado ahí, es parte de cargo.
Is the corner is part of cargo. It's being always there, and we always know where to find it. Job there, where to stand there. So feels frightened, I guess, to be there and the police showing up at 11. It feels bad. We know that by 11 we have to leave. So they don't need the police to enforce that. We know already that to leave earlier. And that's all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Gracias.
Okay, and Mr. Dorsen.
Good evening. My name is Mark Dorsen. I'm a lawyer with the Center for Civil Rights at UNC, one of the signers of the letter you all got about the anti-lingering ordinance. I just wanted to mention tonight, I know this is your last meeting for this before the summer, that we know you were looking at other issues related to workers' rights and the day laborers, and we appreciate the consideration of those issues, but I really want to urge you all to uncouple the consideration of rescinding this ordinance with coming up with the broader solutions for all the other issues that you're faced. There's no reason that those work sessions and commissions and committees you're going to have study those issues need to be carried on under the shadow of this unconstitutional and unconscionable ordinance. In fact, you know, some of us have the concern that as long as that ordinance is in place, it takes pressure off you all from having to address some of these other issues. This is an issue that you can address tonight if you wanted to. It would be a simple matter of rescinding this ordinance. I think the points raised in the letter are critical. I've made them here before on behalf of the folks who live out there. And I urge you not to let this particular issue, the ordinance and the repeal of this ordinance, get caught up in, unnecessarily caught up in broader issues that you all are dealing with. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Mark. Dan. Yeah, I would like to make the motion, which I plan to do even without these folks coming, that staff put this on our agenda sometime in the fall, and that we have a report from Chief Hutchinson on the impact of the ordinance conditions before and after as part of the input for that, that also neighbors be notified of when that takes place, and that also that at the time we first considered this back in 2007, my recollection is that there were other options that were in the report we considered at that time, that we received those materials again in our packet for that meeting, so we can refresh ourselves on the full range of alternatives that we considered before embarking on this particular course.
I'll
and
second.
If anyone has any additions to that, I welcome them.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. So we will take this matter back up sometime in the fall. All right. Are there any persons here who are going to petition us on any other matter that's not on our agenda? If not, we have, is Dana Stidham here? Dana, if you would come up and stand before the town clerk right here with her laptop. Dana has been appointed to the OWASA Board of Directors to take her charge.
I'll read the charge to you, and then if you agree, then you'll sign, and then you can introduce yourself to the board. As a Town of Carrboro delegate to the Orange Water and Sewer Authority Board of Directors, I will, to the best of my ability, exercise all fiduciary responsibilities associated with the position to which I have been appointed, and consistent therewith, be an advocate for the Town of Carrboro's sustainability goals and the triple bottom line sustainability principles. Do no harm to the environment and protect natural resources. Adhere to the principles of social justice and equity. Return strong stakeholder value. Advocate for policies consistent with adopted town documents, including Vision 2020 and the Carrboro Land Use Ordinance, as well as for any policy positions established by the Board of Aldermen. Sign there and I'll see.
Thanks for working with you. We don't have matters by the board tonight.
We don't, or we should.
We don't.
Well, we can, since it's our last meeting.
We have a very short matter.
Okay.
I'll make a note of it. Mr. Manager, the consent agenda.
Item 1 is approval of the previous meeting minutes, June 7th and June 21st. Item 2 is a request to adopt a budget amendment. Item 3, I have a slight change in language. Authorization for the town manager to award a construction contract for the Wilson Park Multi-Use Path Project and approval of a capital improvement project ordinance instead of a grant project ordinance. Item 4 is approval of an agreement with the People's Channel. Item 5 is a resolution making an appointment to the Joint Orange-Chatham Community Action. Item 6 is a personnel ordinance change amending the town code to reflect changes to the Family and Medical Leave Act and to provide a clarification of insurance benefits.
Move the items.
Second.
All right. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passes unanimously. Item D1, continued discussion of Chapel Hill Transit advertising.
We have Steve Slade, Spades, I'm sorry, with us tonight to continue the discussion on transit advertising. And Steve, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor, member of the Alderman Board. What I'd like to do is, I think I was here about a month ago, and what I'd like to do tonight is bring you up to speed on how we responded to some of the suggestions that were made at the last Court of Alderman meeting, and then maybe summarize what the town council did very briefly and then answer questions that you might have. At the last meeting, where I summarized where we were trying to go with the business plan for transit advertising, there were a couple issues raised for consideration. One was that there were some suggestions for modifications to the standards and the policies. Specifically, there was a concern about the distribution of leaflets, the idea of issues advertising, I think actually those were the majority of the legal counsel's suggestions. He had made some others to town legal counsel independently of the meeting. As a result of that, we modified the section on the distribution of leaflets to tighten it up a little bit. What we really tried to do was to say that the only leaflets that could be distributed on the buses are those that are to convey information on changes in the transit service or related to what we were doing, or were something we were distributing that was for the benefit of the transit system. I think that narrowed it a little bit. We also made some changes in language to tighten up on issues advertising. We think that this starts to get to that issue where a church can advertise, but they can't advertise a position on a certain issue. Mm-hmm. Or the same thing with a political ad. The other thing that we did in the policy was to shorten up the there was quite a discussion on obscene, what obscene was, and discussion was to shorten that and specifically relate it to the North Carolina Code, so that was a little easier to understand. So I think those were the significant changes that were made in that policy. The policy that you have was approved by the Chapel Hill Town Council for us, along with the transit advertising fee schedule. The other thing that we talked about was the interest in promoting, or at first was focusing on the question of could we restrict sales of advertising to local businesses only. And based on, I think, in reaction to our comment that we didn't think that was economically feasible with the program, there was then a discussion of what we might do to help promote local businesses. And we really came up with three things that we presented to the town council as part of our program. One was that we would work with the chamber and other local agencies in order to develop a program to promote advertising with local businesses and try to, while we can't give preference, we can certainly have a concerted effort to make sure the local businesses are aware of it and have first opportunity. And we've actually had some brief conversations with the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber about helping us in that matter. So one of the things that we would commit to is developing a program that really focused on getting us out to meet with local businesses. Secondly, we talked about committing a wrapped bus to each community that you could use, obviously within policy, but that you could use to promote local businesses or activities however you saw fit. And we would then pledge our staff and our design staff to work with the town in whatever manner to do that. The third thing that we talked about as a suggestion was to allow the use of vacant space on the buses by our partners to promote local events. These would be local town-sponsored events, such as the music festival or something like that, that's something that the town promotes. From time to time, there will be vacant space on the buses, and rather than leave that vacant, if there's some kind of a special event coming up, then the town could use that space. We could work with the town to make that space available to promote local events, which would give, again, we think the advertising another local incentive, a reason for us to promote local businesses. On June 13th, we made a presentation to the Chapel Hill Council, and they voted to adopt the policy fee schedule and supported our business plan with those additions that we would provide to the locals. We now have the support of UNC and Chapel Hill, and again, I think our partners believe it's very important to work on a basis of consensus, and we're here tonight hoping that we can get some guidance from you and hopefully consensus to move ahead. Yes.
Jackie.
I really liked the shortening of the minimum period of time. It's now 3 months. And I think if it's an event or, you know, there are a lot of things that you might not need up there for 6 months, but 3 months would be really nice, like for some of our recreation and parks programs, certainly for some university events. I like that, and it makes it more affordable. This is incredibly affordable advertising.
Well, and one of our next steps, two things. First of all, you could actually buy an ad for a month. The rate is for, you'd pay the same rate for 1, 2, or 3 months on a monthly basis. So you could actually buy a space at that price for...
like $180 for a month?
Right. Per site.
A lot cheaper than the DTH. Well, for the back.
Right.
For the back of one bus.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Thanks.
Right. And the idea is that these shorter contracts they are something that are more used by people who are promoting events and things like that in smaller businesses. So that would work.
That's great.
Mindy and
Steve, I had a question. I like what we're doing because we're doing it to keep the fare free system. Is there some way that the fact that we're keeping it free is also continuously communicated so folks realize why we're doing this and the message gets out so folks in seeing the buses wrapped understand that this is part of the keeping it free effort? You know, whether that's done inside the bus, whether it's done on, you know, WCOM or, you know, Chapelboro or whatever, just so that...
Or on a bus wrap.
Or at the bus shelters. Somewhere, the thing that I think is most important is that folks driving past the vehicles themselves, not understanding, not knowing why all of a sudden they're wrapped, if there's some way that... maybe with this signage on the side, it says keeping it free and then support advertising.
I don't
advertising.
Know why not. I don't have any brainstorm right now, but I'm sure we could come up with some way. I understand what you're trying to say is that people need to understand that the reason we're doing this is because of these economic times and the interest to keep the system running.
Because they'll look at Durham or Raleigh and they'll say, oh, God, their buses are not cluttered with this kind of bombardment of commercialization. But, in fact, that's what makes it, you know, free and accessible
right.
to everyone. Okay, thanks.
Steve, do you know if the town bus shelters are, would they, are they owned by the town, or would it, does it have to go through Chapel Transit for us to, for example, use them for advertising?
I don't know if I can answer. I mean, I would probably refer that to legal counsel. My gut is that you've put up your shelter. If you wanted to do something with your sign ordinance to allow advertising on shelters in the community, you could certainly do that, and we could work with the town, or yeah, with the town to develop a program. We excluded the shelters from this program at this point simply because we didn't want to confuse the issue with the sign ordinance.
Right. So. Another question I had is, well, first of all, I'm grateful that there, you were responsive to a lot of the concerns we had and have responded to that. A question I still have is how you guys may be defining local. Is this just locally located or locally owned, or is it just open?
And I'm hoping that as we develop a program with our staff to go out and to have outreach to local businesses, that the chamber and the aldermen and the town council help us define that. Because there are obviously a number of definitions. I think I understand what you're interested in, but I think what we'd like to do is get staff on board and then sit down with you all and sit down with the chamber and try to craft something that meets everybody's needs.
One of my concerns is I know that the chamber has a lot of members, and I know they wouldn't be able to be discerning like Carbara is in understanding the importance of supporting local businesses over maybe not locally owned, but locally located.
And to that end, our thought is that we would start working with groups to identify target markets. So you absolutely might have a different group of businesses that you'd like us to reach out to, and what we'd do is develop a plan specifically to reach out to those. So that
can
I just interject?
Sure.
I did send you that list of criteria from the Bali website, right?
Right.
Good. Another concern I had, I noticed how we're very restrictive with anything that is sexy, but we don't speak to anything that's violent. And I was wondering about, for example, if there's a policy or if we would be able to speak to, for example, our Army recruitment on buses. Like, is that something that we could restrict?
No. I don't even think we should.
We can't.
I don't think we should go there. Or we need to discuss it before we go there.
We could.
Yeah, that's my point of bringing it up, so we could. We'll discuss it at some point.
Well, we get federal funds.
Does the town attorney have a gut reaction to that question?
I have all kinds of gut reactions to it. I'm not sure.
legal
reaction. But I really have to think about that a little bit more. Okay. As we're singling out, military recruitment.
So yeah, there are some.
I think it's much more complicated than it appears at first glance.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. There are some folks in Chapel Hill who volunteer to write graffiti on those ads.
But those aren't allowed, right?
That's right. The graffiti would have to come down, which means I guess the ad would have to
That's another thing that stood out to me, the question of like, that aesthetic, not. Like if someone bought an ad and it looked like a graffiti, why is that not acceptable?
Well, my understanding from discussions with others is that can prompt people to want to add graffiti in other places, and it causes other problems in the community around the bus.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I'm very appreciative and totally understand the reason why we're doing this program. I mean, we're out of funds, and like so much that's happening in this era, we're running out of funds. And the general trend, though, is as we run out of funds, things, the people who have money, which are corporations, tend to be able to continue things as we've expected them. And that becomes a gradual erosion of power people have. And as much as there's no questioning of why it is that corporations are, like you pointed out, like we wouldn't be able to do this program solely with local businesses, that we do need corporations. So, I'm grateful for your response to, and some of the concerns, most of the concerns I brought up. But I personally will probably not endorse this program because I do think that there is, at some point, we do have to face it, and there's a point at which it can go too far and it'll be harder to face. And we see examples of the privatization of all kinds of public functions, for example, the university, the naming of buildings, and things like that. Even in Michigan, the privatization of towns themselves, the dismantling of governing elected governing boards. So I feel this is part of this general trend where, as we run out of federal funds, we automatically go to corporations, and it's pretty significant that corporations have so much money, are profiting so strongly in this era, and the public sector is not. You know, we're drowning in a bathtub.
Dan.
Yeah, I guess I just want to agree with Sammy that I do think that part of what's got us to this point is something we never looked at seriously in the past. And there's a vicious circle where the control of state and federal government by what was once called the power elite has put the economy into a shambles and led us to the point where, as Lydia and I see every month, there's decreasing funding available for transit. So what happens, the people who've made off like bandits get invited in to promote their products on our buses so we can have the funding. And I agree with Sammy that there's a big problem with our acquiescing to that decision, which doesn't mean it isn't, in some sense, a necessity for keeping Chapel Hill Transit going at this point. But I just want to concur with the idea of there being a very fundamental social and political problem that we're embroiled in with this decision.
I understand and agree with the premise of where you two are coming from, but I think this is different than Wisconsin selling its power plants. I at first didn't like the idea of advertising on buses, but this is going to be in-house. This is different than, like, if an advertising agency was doing it, then their bottom line would be their bottom line. The bottom line here is the community, and I think it's an incredible opportunity at these prices for our local businesses. You know, for $150 for a month, you can have the back of a bus ad. And that's a really neat, I mean, I'm thinking of it for my family business, and I'm sure a lot of people are. It's cheaper advertising than anything else, so it's really us supporting us. Now, I know that every time us supports us, they swoop in, but here we have some control over they swooping in, you know? So I get it, but I think in this case, this is much more of an opportunity to promote the things we believe in and cherish than it is to sell the power plant that the state taxpayers paid for to somebody else. Anyway, welcome to Carborough, and I really appreciate
it. He lives here by choice.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, to the meeting, yeah. Just kind of proof of why you moved where you did, I guess.
Okay, well, is there a motion?
I'd like to move that we endorse the program and with the request that we get a recommendation from staff on how to make best use of our one bus that we get to wrap.
Can I add, I would like to know about the Army recruitment question. Thanks.
That's a friendly amendment.
I'll accept that if there's an understanding there needs to be a discussion about this. Not everybody is necessarily opposed to that.
Okay. It's just the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Is what I'm accepting.
I'm not supposed to get the answer.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
So am I making good on my promise so far, Steve? Yeah, that's
okay. Motion passes 6-1. All right. That brings us to staff report on Second Wind Juice Bar loan application process. Mr. Manager.
Annette Stone, our Economic and Community Development Director, has a brief update for the board.
Mark, can I say something before Annette speaks?
Sure.
Annette, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I guess I feel like, and I don't know if I conveyed this in my email earlier in the week, that I think if I had been here at last Tuesday's meeting, I don't think this matter would be on the agenda tonight, and I regret that I was not here to represent what took place at the ESC meeting. But as I stated in the email to you all, the ESC is an excellent group of people in that advisory board. They have utmost integrity. They have a full understanding of conflict of interest, as evidenced by the fact that a member recused himself for the next item in that very meeting earlier this month. And the fact of the matter is that we have a well-established process for how we review applications for the revolving loan fund. And I think for an applicant to come in and make the kind of charges that were made last week is, to my mind, not reason for us to depart from that process, but in fact reason for us to stick more closely to it. I think we need to hear from the ESC. I think we need to take our usual time and our usual process. And I would like to move that we take no further time on this evening and wait until we hear from ESC on this application after the summer break.
Dan, have they made a decision?
No. They are going to have some email discussion about the issues that were raised and put together a list of concerns to refer to the applicant for the applicant to consider.
And that's the normal procedure, isn't it?
Well, if there's
kind of
there's
free
concerns,
business advice.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not opposed to that. I think the applicant needs to understand when it's public money and the process that we have, then the information you give us, the majority of it, it's a public record. And if you get money from a public entity, the public has to be able to point at it one day and say, this was the reason why we made the particular decision for everything. You know, there are only very limited amount of things that can be done in a closed door meeting with public money. And I think that understanding also needs to it's different from a bank where when you give your financial information, they have to keep it confidential. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But if it is a public entity, they have to, and we have to, and it's our responsibility under Chapter 132 of the Public Records Law in North Carolina, that there has to be some information that has to be public. And that's just the way it is.
Thanks, Joel. That's helpful.
Do I take that as a second to that?
Yes, sir.
Motion?
Yeah.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we move on to item three, essentially. All those in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed.
Mm-hmm.
Passed unanimously.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks. good report again.
well done.
You kept it short.
Jeff, can you beat that?
Yeah.
Can't wrap your head around
that. Can't wrap my head around that. Although we could do great advertising for town events. Really handy for things such as the design workshop.
These things are gone.
This is just an update on the design workshop, which has been recently held at Morris Grove Elementary School. The continuing exploration of policy in the Northern Study Area. Things are going very nicely. The town, in retrospect, the town decided after getting NSFERC recommendations to contract with Durham Area Designers to facilitate a design workshop. It's just a little reminder. Part of that process involved identifying subject properties that would be suitable for a village-type development or a mixed-use development. The town proactively went out and contacted owners of these properties and asked them to participate in the workshop. And out of all the owners that we contacted, one landowner committed, the Zinn Brothers. At property up on the corners of Eubanks and old NC 86. I'll try to avoid some detail, but after this, these details got solidified. The town went ahead and sent invitations out to the residents of the northern transition area. We had a little bump with that, so we had to redo a mailing. But the invitations went out, and after an orientation meeting on the 2nd, the design workshop was held on February 26th. We got about 30 people who stayed throughout. There were more at the beginning. It was a very successful event. We had a lot of fun. There was plenty of talking and thinking, and the Durham area designers provided a lot of base information to help people conceptualize how you design and scale a mixed-use development, a commercial development for the northern for the northern area. I think what was most interesting is there was a sense that people could see the need for some commercial uses that perhaps they didn't see before, especially considering the new school, another school possibly on the way, and a fantastic park that is on the books but has yet to be built. It may be some time before that gets built, but we'll see. Lots of attendance, a lot of thinking went throughout the day. People studying, a few arguments, a few heated discussions. But this is the kind of thing that happened in the six, there were six teams, and they would develop a design prospect or project or concept for this area. Someone would rough it out, and the Durham area designers went back to their studios and refined it and produced something like this. And they did this six times. And so right now where we are with the report is looking at these alternatives and then taking the next step to quantifying some of the proposals and seeing how they translate into our village mixed-use ordinance. You know, does our current ordinance allow for such a development as this? If not, you know, what has to happen for this kind of scale to happen? And each of the concepts, they're very different from each other. So I don't want you to look at this too closely right now. You may start talking about it. This wouldn't be the time. So the next step is we're working hard to get this report finished this summer, and we'd like to present it to the board in September. And then after this, we'd like to give it back to the participants, let them have some time to comment on it, and then just summarize that commentary as an addendum to the report. And this is where we are. Omar Zinn is here. Thank you for coming. He's available for answering questions. He and his brother participated in the workshop. So if you have any questions for Omar, I presume it's okay that they ask you.
Sure. Do we have questions, or do we have them in September?
I have a quick question just for Jeff.
Will the report also consider that the possible realignment of U-Banks?
Yes, I just put that in some comments to the Durham area designers. Yes, that's something that's going to be considered.
Moving the intersection northward, so there's the intersection of U-Banks and NC86, you mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
So, because you can't see at that intersection now.
Maybe we could just ask Omar if he has any comments, you know, as the property owner, of how the process seemed to be working for him and if it's helpful to him in terms of his thinking about where they're going with that. So,
thank you, Dan. Sure.
Okay. Yeah, please. Okay.
You guys doing? I kind of was watching on TV and popped up here when I saw the second item kind of got shifted. So I missed the report, although I've been at every charrette. And, I think the charrettes were helpful. At the charrettes, they obviously have a certain charrettes are what they are. I think that I'm not trying to dispel the effectiveness of the charrette, but charrettes gather a certain amount of people who have time and who have vested interest. So a lot of different viewpoints. when my brother and I purchased the property, we, you know, it is and it was and is still zoned R1, and we, you know, anticipated that it would be rezoned. You know, a lot of different ideas out there, and, you know, I know the town of Carrboro is interested in having a more diversified tax base. It's at a nice location next to the elementary school, future middle school, park, obviously. Eubanks is growing. So a lot of it's going to really depend on, you know, what you guys decide is going to fit there, you know, and the vision of Carrboro in terms of what we need, but also what will work there, what will be successful there. I think there are a lot of good ideas. A Carillon or kind of a retirement facility is one idea that has been floated out there that is popular with residents in the area, because those type of facilities seem to be kind of a non-threatening nature.
Yeah, people
don't drive. But you know, it's you know, approximately 26, 27 acres with water and sewer access, and I would just ask, without, you know, throwing too much information on you guys, because this will be a long process, but I would only ask that, you know, I am interested in rezoning the property. I'm not wanting to go through an approval process with a big, long rezoning with, you know, I'm interested in you guys creating the zone and me working with that zone that's created. And I'm interested in, you know, ideally having a clear and transparent process. And I don't have any, you know, this land isn't, you know, like on the back burner, like, oh, yeah, we're bulldozers are ready. We're ready to go. I mean, this is, you know, a longer-term project in my eyes. And we know that rezoning any piece of property in Carrboro is going to take some time and significant citizen input. So I would just ask that, you know, that whatever you do decide, and I know some of you, I know Joel, you're moving on to other things, but you know, those who are still on the board, you know, just try and make it as clear and transparent as possible. Whatever you, if you do decide to rezone this, or if you do rezone it, to make it clear and transparent and something that will hopefully, you know, something that will have a possibility of success at this location, considering that Eubanks will be realigned in some configuration. DOT has already presented us plans. We haven't signed off on anything. I guess I'm interested to you know, move in that direction. I am interested in moving in that direction, but like I said, I don't really have any specific plans at this point in time.
Thanks, Omar.
Omar, quick question. I'm sure you've heard of the economic development referendum that's coming up, the sales tax, and I was wondering if you foresee benefiting, whenever it is that you do develop this property, from that referendum. Have you thought of that at all?
You mean the town of Carrboro benefiting, or me?
You, as a developer, I'm thinking specifically that you're providing infrastructure for economic development, and just wondering if you foresee possibly benefiting from a sales tax that's for that purpose.
For infrastructure?
You're
saying it because the county's interested in paying for sewer extensions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, because, you know, basically the county has a referendum, and most of it's going towards extending sewer and water to a place that's far away from where most people live. And I was wondering if those millions of dollars, like, if you've got a take on if that referendum or that money could be put to better use.
Better use than extending water and sewer lines? I'm not sure I understand.
That's a no for now.
For now. Not so far. He doesn't have an idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you know, if they're going to pay for water and sewer extensions, obviously that could be a benefit to me.
Not to you, because you are already going to have that there. What they're doing is for economic development zones that are on extremes within the county, like along major highway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I mean, I'm not out in Eflin. I'm talking about the whole Buckhorn Road area.
Right. Right.
Yeah, no. I mean, other people, but not necessarily me. And I think
right. You would benefit from those millions if they could.
More of a long-term thing also, just in terms of where we're at economically.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a rhetorical question. I think it's rather entertaining. My point being that, you know, and we passed a resolution pointing out how we would have liked to have some of that money supporting right. developments that are closer to where infrastructure is and where we are struggling to have more commercial infrastructure, that it's unfortunate the county has pursued spending a lot of money just for running water and sewer out to where no one lives, given the
well,
fact
some,
that
there is some people that actually live and
well,
have
where most people who work there probably won't live. Thanks.
Anymore. Thank you for listening to me.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
Mark, did we move attachment A?
Not yet.
I'll move attachment A.
Have a great summer.
Thanks. Come by any time, Omar. All right.
Been moved and seconded for attachment A, accepting the update. All those in favor, signify.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, not passed unanimously. All right. Proposed amendment to section 324.7 of the county code, Mr. Manager.
There's not a staff report. This was something that was requested that the town attorney draft from last week's meeting for the board's consideration. I'll let Bob be able to. This is specifically to remove the Morgan Creek Valley Alliance and Friends of Bowling Creek from specified
to make them at those seats at large seats rather
right.
than specified.
It's to undesignate.
Okay. I'll move that item.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, map passed unanimously. Item B5, request to make appointments to the Greenways Commission. Jack.
I'll hop in here. The Greenways Commission was formed almost 6 years ago. There was a Greenway Summit 6 years ago that was very productive. And the Greenway Commission has achieved a great deal. And we're very, very appreciative of that. With funding restrictions currently going on, I'm not sure what the scope of work for the Greenway Commission currently is in the coming year to 18 months. When I'm looking at making appointments to a commission, I think in terms of who has experience and who is best for that kind of work. I don't know what that's going to be. I have a feeling that the Greenways issues are heading into some very uncertain times when we look at funding for these projects. What I'd like to suggest is that we suspend things for the summer. We ask the staff to come to us in August and let us know what is on the Greenway Commission's plate in the coming year and a half, and then we consider making the appointments at that time.
So if that's a motion, I'll second it.
Okay.
Can I have sort of a friendly amendment?
Okie dokie.
You can try
a sort of.
could we have staff in that report provide where we are, because I'm forgetful about what stage we are with certain.
Of course, I can update.
Update, including, for example, because I didn't have a ready answer to this in my head, if. My thinking is there's no more money from the bond money. And
so the status of the bond money, the status
right.
of the projects,
right.
and what the next steps are. So that makes
kind of a... Time.
Yeah, and
right.
so that makes a coherent process. So I will accept that friendly amendment. Will the seconder?
Of course.
I'd like to just add one other amendment, and that if staff would also look into... conversation that, and I guess I don't see Trish, I know Randy's not here. Staff would look into some of the conversation at the last two Greenway Commission meetings about conservation districts in the Carolina North area
because I know that that's a direction they were looking to go into and talk further about. And I know that they had hoped to, you know, explore the possibility of getting information and potentially moving to create conservation districts in the in Carolina North.
So that certainly can be included in the scope of work that.
Yeah, I took Jackie's motion to include, you know, anything that the Greenways Commission is considering is on its table for that coming period.
Can I ask one clarification question regarding appointments? So give me the scenario. So the staff comes back, they have they've laid out a central game plan. Then what happens with appointments? Do we make appointments before the Greenway Commission meets? Or is that something we need to clarify in this amendment?
I don't think we need to clarify that in this amendment.
It says here the Greenways Commission is meeting in July and August.
Well, if we suspend that, what I'm saying is if staff comes back and shares with us a scope of work for 12 to 18 months, and we ask Greenway Commission to reconvene around that scope of work, we would need to make appointments at that
time. That's right, because what we're saying is that when we know what the scope of work is and what we need, then we will make the appointments. Say yes.
Yes, and it does seem to me that the Greenways Commission might welcome a break for the month of July and August while we're waiting on this.
I certainly think a cooling off period is well earned.
I call it a break.
Yes. So.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, pass unanimously. Item B6, discussion of town manager recruitment process.
What? Steve says he's leaving. He's staying. Just kidding. He's not going to leave.
Second.
You are.
That wasn't funny.
The resolution's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
Can we have some sandwiches or something with that? I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, outlandish or nothing like Chapel Hill gets catered. Just like some sandwiches.
Six.
Peanut butter and jelly, something. Would be.
I can send an email out.
Sounds good.
Leftovers from 4th of July.
Leftovers from 4th of July, yeah. We ought to have some, yeah.
I'll send an email and get some food request.
Just simple.
We got some cupcake from the Centennial.
We got some.
Hopefully frozen.
Item B7, request to approve a Carborough Wise Energy Efficiency Revolving Loan for surplus.
And that says she's going to get you one way or the other.
Right.
Oh, wait, for fortune.
All righty. Well, good evening again. Back in December of last year, you all approved a program design for the WISE Energy Efficiency Loan Program, at which time the staff has been working with the Clean Energy Solutions consultants that we're working with at Chapel Hill and various contractors to continue to develop those program design guidelines and to implement the program. The program was designed to achieve a minimum of 15% energy efficiency per project. And we have our first application in front of us tonight, Surplus SIDS. They're located, as you all are aware, SIDS has been around for about 25 years. They're located at 309. He is located at 309 East Main Street. It's a 3,600 square foot building. It's very interesting if you haven't had opportunity to get inside and see all the merchandise that he has in there.
It'll be the same merchandise 20 years ago.
There's some pretty interesting things that he has in there. The applicant originally asked for $50,000, and if you look at the loan application, it says $50,000. But after the ESC meeting and the recommendation from the ESC that we reduce it and look at a $30,000 loan,
Obviously, again, I'll go back and say it's a 1946 building. It hasn't had a lot of maintenance to it. So there's a lot of things that are energy efficiency and kind of deferred maintenance all rolled into one. But the ESC's recommendation was a $30,000 loan. And so we went back, staff went back to Sid and talked to him. And he was in agreement with that in that the scope of work could be reduced to still achieve 35% energy savings within a reduced scope of work. So he was in agreement with that. The fiscal and staff impact, these funds are from the Department of Energy, administered through the Southeast Energy Alliance, and you all have already budgeted and designated those funds. So I'm looking at the abstract now. The second attachment is a resolution. If I could come back to that for a second. Attachment B1 is the application, the actual application from Sid, and in addition to that, he submitted a credit report, which was a good credit report. Everything seemed to be in order there. Attachment C1 is the energy assessment itself with the work, the detailed work that will be included with the loan funds, the work that will be accomplished with the loan funds. And then finally, the last page is what the ESC said. Again, they recommended a loan with a $30,000 loan, a 10-year term, a 3% interest rate. They also said that the applicant should have the work under contract within 90 days, so to make sure that these funds don't get held up for a long time. And the other thing that they were very concerned about was the securing of the loan with a deed of trust. Now, this program was designed not to make that a program requirement, and Sid has gone through the process with the understanding he didn't have to do a deed of trust. But we did, as staff, we went back to, based on the ESC's recommendation and talked to him about that, and he just said that that was not going to be possible for him to move forward with a deed of trust. So based on the fact that he has been a longstanding business here in the town of Carver, again, 25 years, he has a good credit rating, we are recommending that that this is a good project and that that it moved forward at this time. So that's what attachment D are the recommendations from the ESC and from staff. And if we could go back to the resolution, if I could ask that if you all do accept those recommendations tonight, that the resolution be modified just a bit for what you all, the motion and what you all resolve, includes the fact that you allowed the manager to execute loan agreements, working with the town attorney to put together that loan package, give the manager the authority to execute those loan agreements, kind of modify the resolution to include that. There
we go. Manager or interim manager.
Right.
And that few questions. Is there any issues with the fact that this seems to be applied towards some maintenance costs with, I'm thinking like the federal funding, you know, strings attached, like is that?
Well, the roofing work that's being done is clearly, the roof is leaking and in need of repair. But at the same time, repairs that are being done are providing energy efficiency in that there's going to be insulation added to the roofing. So it's, you can't do one without the other. So, in terms of is this allowed under the program, I think that we're in a good condition.
Okay, good. The other thing I was hoping is that in future loans that this may pass through the EAD to for comment, because it is environmentally related, so it would be good for them. So, for example, I noticed that a lot of the metrics were like savings and costs and energy savings, which is great, but it's a small step from there to just describe the CO2 savings too, so to perhaps include those metrics in the application too.
Well, except that the whole loan program is predicated on
energy
right. production right. specifically, right. and there are right. specific goals
right.
in that mind. So I think it could go to EAB as an informational matter
right.
for them to be.
That's aware. Also not in the scope of work with the energy audit
right.
folks that we have under contract. And I would just add, obviously you all can refer to whomever you want in the future, but We've also tried to streamline this process for the applicants, yeah. And adding layers of review by different advisory boards just makes it that much more difficult and an impediment for folks who want to take advantage of the funding.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think that there's benefit to be had with an advisory group that can start thinking about energy efficiency and other things. So there may be a cost. There's also something we're buying for that cost. It may be valuable to expand the scope of what the EAB does. And obviously, if it's not a requirement under the loan itself, at least just as an opportunity for the EAB to provide comment on it.
Well, I'm going to oppose that because that's not what the grant says. If the grant included that, I wouldn't oppose it. But I think if the grant has specific federal guidelines, and while I am empathetic and sympathetic to the reduction of greenhouse gases in this part of North Carolina and the entire state and the United States and the world, I don't think that it's appropriate to do that for this program.
But what might be really neat would be if the EAB came up with a set of recommendations that they would make to businesses who were applying for and getting these loans and make them available. And then that could be part of the discussion without businesses having to go through an extra review process, which I think would be kind of an unfair burden on them. But we certainly want the EAB's expertise on this, and they could make
Except that, you know, the whole project is predicated on an audit that's done of the property by a firm that has well-established and broad expertise in all these areas. So I think the property owner is already getting that.
Randy?
You know, one of the things that would be really beneficial, and I hear what you're saying, Sammy, is if Randy Dodd brought an encapsulation of this program to the EAB and made them aware of it. Not for them to review and make comment, because that's not their place, and that's not the place of this grant. I agree with Joel and Dan and Jackie on this. But in order to be able to understand the kind of programming that we're involved with, I think that's something we certainly could ask, you know, Randy Dodd to do, and he could share that with the EAB. That would make sense for them to see where it fits into the larger picture.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to make it harder for the applicants to get this through, but I do see this tying in. It may just claim to be just energy, but it does have environmental effects.
Sure.
Tying into, we've had reports and we have resolutions speaking to reducing our emissions, and this is very much related to that. So if, in as much as the environment or any advisory board, obviously, I think that environmental advisory board is the most appropriate one until we actually have the climate change board, that they be thinking about how these things may relate. Because at some point, I think we also referred to staff getting feedback on the presentation we have on CO2 emissions and what are the lowest hanging fruits and how we can move forward with that. So this would kind of set the tone for that.
I apologize if you already addressed this point, but $30,000 represents how much of the total funds that we can potentially lend out through this program?
The original grant was $55,000, and we are adding, that was approved tonight, an additional $45,000. So there's going to be $100,000 in the fund.
Okay,
so $70,000.
So this is a potential chunk of it.
Right, which was better than in the beginning. He was asking for $50,000, which would have wiped it out. So no opportunity for any other businesses.
And is there still additional federal funding that's potentially
there's
in the
some
pipeline?
Matching funding that can come our way. Matt, did you want to talk to exactly how much that is? It's kind of ebbed and flowed.
Under the current terms of our grant agreement with SEIA, this project will be reimbursed 15% of the project cost back to the town. So we'll get 15% of whatever he does, and even in excess of the $30,000 we loaned to him. If he does any extra work, we'll be reimbursed from that as well. So that money's coming back into the loan fund as well.
Okay.
That's great.
Thanks, Matt.
I guess the other question, I don't really have a question about, I mean, like you say, this is a highly credit-worthy application. I do think the question about securing maybe future loans against real estate. Anyway, I would like for the staff to come back to us on that issue at some point, because I do think that would be, you know, more sound.
Right, and to that point, I noticed this loan is secured with a lien on the equipment, and yes. I guess there'll be some instances where there will be readily identifiable equipment we can secure the loan on, but in some instances there may not be, depending on what kind of weatherization or whatever is being done. So,
right.
There's some real interesting equipment there. I'm sure it's worth it.
But in addition,
though, does that mean we don't want anything that's out front on the
screen? Oh, they've got an electric chair.
We call that inventory.
The type of lien that you were suggesting?
It would be a UCC-1 filing that we would do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is secured. It's just not secured against real estate.
Right.
I don't want to rush to judgment about whether that's the best, what the right policy is, because in some cases, the applicant may not own the real estate to secure it against. So
right.
I'm sensitive to that issue, too. But I just would like to take a closer look at that issue in the future.
With respect to this application also, one of the issues that I had mentioned to Annette was that I can't tell from looking at the application whether we have a corporate applicant or a sole proprietorship. And if it's a corporate applicant, I would like to have the loan secured by personal guarantee by
the president or whoever.
Right. Someone, again, it's not as good as a deed of trust on real property, but a personal guarantee means that if the corporation goes under, you still have the person who's standing behind the corporation who's guaranteeing payment.
That makes sense.
And I see that as your cautious attorney.
Yes, of course.
That makes sense.
No, that's great advice.
Right. Well, this certainly looks like a great application, and it's going to have a substantial energy reduction way beyond the target. So this is certainly exactly what the money's for. And is there a motion for?
With the provision that they seek a personal guarantee if the entity is a corporation or limited liability company or some corporate entity.
And granting the manager interim manager.
And granting the manager interim manager.
Looking into securing the loan.
Well, I think not this one. That apparently will not work on this one.
But right.
For the future, to staff to report back to us.
Right.
And can we do that recommendation, not that it be binding to not being able to pass a loan, but that EAB start looking into these as we start thinking about how to combat climate
change? Why don't you make a separate motion?
Yeah, why don't you make a separate motion, because I'm not going to accept that one.
All right. So
I second if it wasn't second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded for three parts of that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, passed unanimously.
Congratulations. Super prescient.
So I would I'd like to make that motion that Randy provide to the Environmental Advisory Board information about these kinds of loans so that they begin to think about dealing and how to deal with climate change in town.
What if it was to ask the Environmental Advisory Board to come up with a list of recommendations for the applicants to include in their applications and things that we want the town to be aware of.
You mean as a general matter, not
yes, as a general matter, not application by application, because application by application could kind of slow things down.
Yeah.
And yet I'm sure that, you know, the expertise of the Environmental Advisory Board could be very useful in the process, but more as kind of an information document and a document of,
you know,
best practices.
Yes,
ma'am. I don't know that I would put more
paperwork on the applicant to fill out.
That's what I'm
something.
Saying, right. Mandy, is for them not to have to do
right.
that, that this would just be part of the information.
So, but I'm also wondering, I would like to see how the EAB, when Randy presents this material to the EAB, being liaison to the committee, what their take is and how they perceive the information in the scope of their work.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the point. I think that would be the first step.
I'm not, you know, definitely not saying that it's required for the EAB to review it before the application is considered,
right.
but rather that
are you suggesting a presentation on the program or on the particular applications?
On the application and the program. The application has a lot in it. That
not the particular, well, the application's kind of dictated by the funders.
Right.
What? Yeah, by the program. So if they had a presentation on the app, on the program and on, like, what the goals of it are, and then they could make, you know, for everybody that's applying to this, these are some things that, given Carborough and given our kinds of buildings, we think would be stuff to aim for.
My concern with that is I'm really, I mean, this is kind of a general thing for me, is not wanting to have something that might be just make work for an advisory board.
Right.
And I think the people, the consultants who are already involved in this project have great expertise and know what to look for and know what to advise
okay.
the clients. And I just
so
don't
this
see
one's
that
not going to fly.
EAB
okay.
needs to get involved in that level. I think
right.
if there's some way EAB itself might benefit from understanding this project and help, and that would help it to think about other things that
okay.
are going on in town, I think
right.
that's fine as a general review.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I don't think that the EAB has to provide like things that the applicants can do because that's what we're contracting out for, but
right.
but more for the EAB to understand what is happening and what is missing and,
okay.
and be thinking in those lines.
Okay, so would the motion then be for a presentation on the program to go to the EAB and then for as an informational item any loans that get approved by the board mm-hmm. to go to the EAB.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
That makes sense.
Informational
yeah.
report. Okay.
Good.
Thanks.
Moved and I think that's second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Jackie.
I think those of you who lives are as boring as mine, we were watching TV last Friday night, and saw the amazing show from upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
Not that boring. Sorry.
Incredible. Incredible. The paths of marriage equality in New York State. I would like to see our board and our town send a letter or a resolution to the governor of New York and to the legislature saying, way to go, showing support, showing appreciation, because I think too often people think that everybody in North Carolina, you know, would be supporting DOMA, or everybody in, you know.
That's a great idea.
We're not all the same. And maybe if people from all over the country say, yay, to New York, then other places will be more likely to show the same courage that some of those amazing Republican legislatures showed that night. So,
Mark, can your office send a letter on our behalf?
Yeah.
We will attempt to do so.
Think go, Andy. Yeah.
Thanks, Jackie. That's
not
Andy. Andy and the representatives from Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, it's something I just wanted to say to everyone. I know a couple weeks ago we passed a resolution kind of in support of the Orange County Transit Plan and kind of in the hopes that Orange County might consider putting the transit tax referendum on the ballot this fall and speed along the process of our transit plan. But the board, as you I'm sure everyone knows, decided to hold off for this year and kind of work on hopefully doing it next year. Well, In case you didn't know, you know, Durham is the other player in this. And so last night, the Durham County Commissioners voted, and they voted to put the transit tax on the ballot this fall in Durham. And so this is really, really important for us because they're now the county that's kind of the player, but they're the county that is taking the bold step of putting forth the transit tax and trying to garner support. And my understanding is that the resolution they passed is even if the transit tax passes in the fall, they're going to hold off on implementing their transit tax until one of the other counties, either Orange or Wake, also passes their tax. Because that kind of makes sense. I mean, it's a county kind of countywide proposition moving forward the entire transit plan. So just wanted to kind of point that out to everyone because even though it's on the ballot in Durham, it will greatly, greatly affect the success of our transit plan as well. Just make sure everyone's aware of that. Okay. So.
Thanks. I just wanted to point out that for people who do want to use Weaver Street when it does open, that to find out, because it's still unknown as to when it will be open, if it does become open, that you could text follow open Weaver to 40404 to receive notice of when that will happen. And so the idea is to come out and join other community members for a day without cars and also support the businesses along that strip that have been affected by the construction. So come out and play Foursquare, do yoga, hula hoop, or whatever you can imagine doing in a public space.
And there's more information on that at carboroughgreenspace.org if you missed the details of how to get into that.
Are we done?
Mm-hmm. 1 second. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Is there
move to adjourn?
Else? There's a motion to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Do you realize that we have just adjourned Steve Stewart's very last meeting at which he will preside as a manager? And I want to ask you, I know you'll certainly remember the last agenda item from tonight, but do you remember what the first meeting was about that you presided at? Not with us, but in your tenure. What was the first one?
I remember when it was. I honestly, 37 years ago, have no idea what it was.
Do you remember what the issues were, like the hot issues? So, see, nothing's worth getting that freaked out about.
Where was it?
Don't remember.
It was in Huntersville, North Carolina, and I was 23 years old. I was mostly scared.
Wow.
I do remember that.
Wow. That was amazing.
Steve, we sincerely appreciate all of us on this board, and I think 99% of us in the town of Harborough appreciate all that you've done to look out for the taxpayers and the residents of our community. We've been really proud to have you as a manager and a leader of this this awesome team, your town staff, and we wish you all the best in your retirement. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I can't think of a better place to retire from. Thank you very much.
We'll have a thing or two more to roast you on later this fall.
Yeah.
We're
looking forward
to the roast.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Yeah, that's great.